No. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next session was going to be pretty much a hodgepodge of abuse from you guys at us. One of the things that we wanted to do here was to get input from our users or the people that are just have general questions, and that we're here to answer anything you have. If there don't end up being any questions, then we can finish early or perhaps fix a bug for Stuart. That hasn't worked with us in the past. They find another bug to complain about.
So when you fix a bug and you're great to fix it,
bye. So what we could do is if we grab the Launchpad developers and we'll get them sitting down the front, and then those with the fruit. Asking William to come down. Is that because you want to ask him a question? The microphone around. Yep. Yeah, sure. We're going to get a microphone to you in a second. Well, apparently they're streaming this.
So, we're not going to retitle this talk, Stuart Chats with the Launchpad.
So the new title of the talk is Stuart Chats with Launchpad Developers. So one of the things that in the browsing source tree stuff, so you're able to get, you know, the hash reference on lines when you actually want to write in a bug report of this was in this area during discussion, I think it's here, and you want to actually link to this area of source code in a specific revision. Because the revision numbers are not permanent, so you know they can change with merges and stuff and repushing there, they're actually using the revision ID stuff. But you can if you like do horrible other things, but
it's true that revision numbers can change, but they can't change when you merge. They can change only when you push. And that's only if you push something into the branch that merged from the branch but wasn't the same thing.
Which is conceivable in some weird ways of working. Yeah. Also, it's also better when it doesn't always have Launchpad encountered an internal error, which...
We're working on that.
Yeah, it's only one in two times, I find, which is an improvement of three and four, so... And you're still giving the talk. How does that happen? What else would be nice? Line operations. So one thing that would be cool is a BZR interface to push this up and also issue a merge request. So instead the current workflow of, you know, is... Yeah.
We have that. If you have the BZR pipeline plugin,
yeah,
you can do BZR LP submit, and it will do that.
Excellent.
I'd say a couple of months, probably. I haven't proposed it yet, but it's sort of in line with what we want to do, and I just need to figure out how to leave enough hooks in that it can still do what pipelines does, which is also supply the prerequisite branch.
Which would also be nice.
It's part of pipelines. Yeah.
What else have I not said that annoys me? There's got to be more, I have to remember it. Diffs on individual things on merge recs. I think we've got it so it automatically takes branches to the merge state when they've been merged.
Yes.
Yep, I think that is. I just have a whole bunch of them still sitting there. There's some offline things that are interesting.
So we were talking about the other night about stuff from... Stuff from Bundle Buggy into merge request stuff, but there's also ages ago when I was trying to figure out what the best workflow for MySQL folks would be, I was also looking at Review Board, which had some nice things other than the fact that it supported every version control system in the world other than Bazaar at that point in time. It had nice things about like having the conversation be in line to various parts in the patch. So like you'd get the big patch display and then you'd go like into the middle of it and you'd be like, here, this blows, fix this. And then when somebody would update they'd push with an update of the patch, it would do magic foo to, like, you know, be able to, basically annotating conversations that annotate the patch as you're talking about them. Seemed neat.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Yeah. Okay, I got thoughts on this. This did come up very early on. One of the things that we did when we were writing the review system is we pretty much mirrored a lot of what our review process was. Mm-hmm. The Launchpad review process was entirely email driven.
Yeah.
A lot of our Launchpad developers don't go to the website.
Yeah.
So one of the initial things was that we wanted to be able to continue our workflow and still do all of our reviews over email. Which is why we have the email commands. It's why everything gets emailed out. It's why you can actually reply to them nicely. The one thing this didn't allow us to do very easily was to make comments on particular lines of a patch. We discussed it, and we think that there is possibly some magic you could do if you left in the markers of the unified diff.
Yeah.
And it's not entirely out of the question for us to do. But part of the problem now is we have moving diffs. So once... You've made this particular comment. You said this piece of code blows, and mm-hmm. the person goes, "Ah, yes, it does. I'll go and fix it." And if they then go in and make a change and then push it up again, we update the diff, and now the diff no longer has that particular line that you're commenting on.
Right.
Now, what do you do with the line with the comment? So we have this tension between wanting to provide the ability to comment on lines, and yet still have it fit in with the workflow that we have, and being able to display it as things move.
Yeah, makes sense.
So if we can come up with a really nice user interface of how it would look, then we could probably move towards that. But at the moment, I've just got no idea of how it would look as things change and as, you know, things progress.
Possibly with the pipelining stuff, and so you move towards, like, not, I won't say the word series of patches, but effectively with the revision history, and you can then actually check the diffs between each of those pipelines could be it. So I find that's a big pain problem even when reviewing a series of patches, is that then you have to diff the patches to see if someone's fixed what you were commenting on before.
You realise that Monty has said...
Yeah, especially when the patches are non-trivial, so you get larger non-trivial patches, which you then make 50 comments on. You want to check that the 50 comments have been addressed.
One of the things which I've wanted to do that I haven't done yet is in the email that gets sent out from a diff when they've made a push, is to send out an email that shows you the new diff and the diff between the last diff. So officially an interdiff of the changes.
Yeah.
However, we have tension between other people who said we don't want that email spam going in.
But
I'd like flag it and you can filter it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I love freedom. I can use Procmail and not much. So ignore my calendar and contacts and all that.
I have a set of comments. Comment number one, Gmail has filters, but you can't filter on headers, which basically makes their filtering not useless, but very, very, very bad. Someone at this conference does. Find Leslie Hawthorne. The other thing is that you can be subscribed to branches without being subscribed to the merge proposals, and you can change that on Launchpad by editing your subscription on the branch. The other thing is, I just wanted to know if Stuart knew that when you pushed up new changes to a merge proposal, that you saw the new revisions. You now see the new revisions on the page.
That's the big improvement.
So that helps you see the patches that have been made to redress your review comments, and that does a lot to, I think.
I also sometimes, when things have been sitting for a while, I do actually run Rebase, so at least then you can actually view a sensible patch on it. Otherwise, it gets a little bit more ugly.
I personally think that my own personal thinking, which is unfortunately has little influence on Bazaar or Launchpad, is that that looms should be made good and better integrated into Launchpad, or I guess, you know, I should really try Pipeline someday.
Well, speaking Pipelines of all knowledge about before the I became aware of Pipeline an hour ago. So.
Sorry?
No, speaking of my knowledge of everything before an hour ago.
Yeah. I think a good user interface for any sort of stacked bunch of branches, like separating your chronology over time with the patches that want to be landed. I think anything that's a really good user interface for that would be an improvement.
Yeah.
I really don't like Rebase because
it
confuses those two things.
It also helps for BZR blame when going back and you actually see the actual revision of where the person was thinking about it, not when they realized this member variable has now been renamed, and so it's rename X to X because it happened, which is uninteresting to see in blame. What's interesting is I was trying to implement SQL 2003 triggers, not...
Well, I think the two things are interesting and that they should be recorded at right angles to each other.
Mm. So maybe a graphical, nice blame that works on enormous repositories. Because sometimes I go back
Genetate?
And...
Genetate?
No?
Genetate is... Okay.
Can you say Genetate is not something I've read?
Genetate is awesome. Aaron should release more often.
The other thing I just wanted to mention is I'm not sure if you were aware that the diff on the merge proposal won't be affected by merges. So, you know, if you decide to just go ahead and merge in the latest crack and commit and push, the diff on the merge proposal will still be same. And it will reflect your latest work.
But not against the top of tree.
Well, since your work will now be based against the top of tree, it will be.
It will be
against the top of tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I don't want to merge top of tree yet because I want to get the approval on the idea of the patch before submitting one that actually applies to trunk.
Whatever you merge, it will notice that you've merged it.
So I might have to try to annotate the two.
So, as far as I can see, the only significant community contributor to Launchpad is sitting next to me. Say more than 20 merge proposals accepted. I just wanted to know what your guys' general feeling on what you know, is there enough community participation in Launchpad? Do you, in terms of developing Launchpad?
So, no, there isn't enough community participation in Launchpad in terms of actually contributing patches to Launchpad. I will say that here and now, and I'll go on the record as saying that.
You're unhappy about that?
However, wait. So, first of all, I dislike accusations. Well, there's actual data to back up your claims, and you should go to dev.launchpad.net/contributors and contributions. Can you add a redirect to the wiki for that? Anyway. Yeah, to contributions, and you'll see that there's a list of, about a dozen people who've contributed to Launchpad since it was open sourced, none of whom work for Canonical, as I understand it. Yes, we think there should be more people contributing to Launchpad. We would love more patches. We would love more people fixing it, and we are actually doing things to make this easier. It is a pretty slow-going process. What's happening right now is that Carl Fogel, who's been tasked to do this, is now on the bugs team, sort of actually gaining experience hacking on Launchpad. And when he stops doing that, he'll be working full-time on making Launchpad easier to hack on for people who don't get paid to do it.
So are you happy with the progress it's making now, or do you think...
To be honest, for a project of this size, Launchpad of this size, and with such a strong amount of corporate direction, I was actually pleasantly surprised by the amount of community contributions we got so soon after open sourcing.
That's only because William stalks Launchpad.
I've long hypothesized a scrapbook. But as I said, there are other contributors. Yeah,
I know it's not just William, but he's just here and so easy to pick on.
There have been more contributions lately than there were at the start. So I think it is happening.
Yeah, for sure.
For those that don't realize, Launchpad is about 450,000 lines of Python, and there is a lot of object model, and a lot of people hit the Zope wall if they're looking to contribute. Well, yeah. And can you turn around for the camera now? It does take, a long time to run the test suite on a dedicated machine right now. I mean, this is a pain point. I must admit, as far as getting a developer up with the if they follow the instructions and set it up to get it running on their laptop to test it, is make run, which is conveniently useful. I don't remember. It took me a day. But I started over 3 years ago, so apparently things have improved. If you know what you're doing.
Yeah, but people and documentation. This. Yeah.
We expect anyone contributing a patch to read, yes. Patches accepted.
Another answer is that JML is working to get us some graphs of performance so that we can track where it's slow and why it's slow, and so that we can actually meaningfully address it.
So it's a big priority. The faster we can churn out packages, the better quality and
Absolutely.
The more enjoyable Ubuntu development is.
Absolutely.
Both for the community and also for Launchpad's commercial customers. So it's actually a big thing for us.
Can I then ask an uncomfortable question? Okay, so there's been
Pink.
It's been talked about now for 3 years dropping apt FTP archive from the publisher and doing it manually.
I have no idea what those words mean.
Yeah, I think it's Julian, and Julian's not here.
Say it again, please. I didn't get that.
You're not using apt FTP archive during publisher to generate the indices and doing it directly from the database, which would be quicker.
Yeah. So it is on our list, but pretty.
That's why I said it was an uncomfortable question, because but unfortunately it wasn't so uncomfortable because JML and a few other people there went, what?
But there's a feature called No More Apt FTP Archive.
Yeah.
And I believe the last time we discussed it was 18 months ago.
Yes.
And since then, like, people have been pouring feature requests and bugs on us, and that's why it's still there it is. I hope that answers your question.
I knew it was an uncomfortable question anyway, because it's like, yes, it's on the list, it's just here.
Well, if you can,
yeah, I know.
If you can make CJ Watson prioritize it, you know, there might be a chance we get to it.
Anything else, or should we wrap up? Oh, okay, Monty. What?
Talk so loud.
I am the internet. Is actually what it turns out. This may be half trolling, but you know, whatever. The new site rollout downtimes. It's where we do all of our work. Is there any plan on not turning off Launchpad for an hour on Friday afternoons? No, it goes offline at times. Honestly, it's not fully. I mean, I don't know if that's a plan.
Theoretically simple and practically very difficult,
sure.
As I'm sure you're aware.
Right.
So, the ideal is yes, there is no outage. It goes read only for an hour, how long it takes to play the database patches, and then it goes back in. So, any time it doesn't do like that, something's gone wrong, and of course, it's never the same thing.
Sure. Yeah. So. Is there any plan on not even having it go read-only? Is that on anybody's radar?
Well,
right. Oh, fair enough.
Partly because part of our rollout process is updating the database with database patch schema updates.
Yeah.
So we can't have code that is expecting it in one way running against the database being different.
Oh, there's ways to do that. Says,
you,
says,
you know Elmo, right?
Says the former database consultant.
We don't use MySQL. You know that, right?
Yeah. I said I said there's ways to do that, not ways you can do that.
Awesome. Okay.
Are a pain point for many bidders.
Everyone's ever on large MySQL replication setups has always had the, oh, we just alter the table and realize you've just altered tables replicated through every single slave, so read-only no longer works. everyone's done that once.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I hope you've got something useful out of this. And that's it.
Thanks, Tim.